Wizards.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Man, it seems like I've been away for quite a time, but I was only gone for a few days. But it was a good trip to see my grandfather. And you know what's been hitting me lately? You know, I was on a trip, and it's really good to see him. But what's been hitting me lately is just how good the Lord is. Like, that should be hitting me all the time, but he's so good. He's so good to us that he came down and died for me and you and for the sins of the whole world. And that he is God. And he's a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. And there's just a gratefulness that happened to me when I was gone. I'm sorry if I'm getting choked up already. But I'm blessed. You know, he took me from a complete mess and surrounded me with people that loved me. And I got a family that loves me. I got a wife that loves me. And that's awesome. I got a stepfather who cares for me like a dad. And that's just an awesome thing. And it's not to my works. It's not to anything that I did right. It's because he's good. It's because he's good. I just repented and believed that his sacrifice was sufficient for me. And it covered. And I knew it when it happened. He blotted out all my transgressions and took me from that state and lifted me up in him. And every day we should rejoice in that and have a grateful mind and be grateful to him. Because he's done it for every one of you too, if you choose it. I want to go to John. And the gospel is very simple. It's not complicated. It's not hard. And he starts to tell us. He starts to show us his way. When we receive him and accept him as our Lord and Savior, he tells us what to do in Scripture. It's very simple. I'm going to start just in 27 here. It says, Jesus says, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth until everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Then said they unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent. And his name is Jesus Christ." That is so awesome. And that is so simple. Because that takes not about me or what I did or what I'm accomplished or what you did or what you have accomplished or what you failed to do. It's about what he did for us. He died and rose again that we may have life eternal. And what do we do? What's what he's telling us here? To believe him. To believe him. Most of our battles square smack in our own heads is just choosing to believe him. Because this carnal nature wants to tell you otherwise. It says, the scripture says, it's at enmity with God, which is enemy of God. It wants to lie to you. It wants to send you to hell. That's what this flesh is cursed. The reason why it's called cursed. Because it has nothing, wants nothing to do with God. And God is so good. And we spend so much of our time serving this thing instead of serving the one who cared for us. And this thing's dragging you to hell. But in Jesus Christ, you have life eternal. What does it say here? But for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. It's right there for your taking. He loves you. He died on the cross for you. He defeated death, took the keys from Satan, and was resurrected in power so that each and every one of us may live in him in life eternal. Live in love for one another. That is so awesome. We sing that God, my God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God, and he is awesome. And it brings tears to my eyes saying it, singing it. Let's put down this fleshly lust. Let's put ourselves aside and be about his will. About his business. Which is loving God, loving one another. God is love. Without him, we have nothing. What does the scripture say? Without me, you can do nothing. And that's so true. Because I know the works of this flesh. I know the works of Philip. The works of Philip will kill Philip. But Jesus said there's a way out. And we have that way. And it's a simple choice of believing on him who he has sent. And that's an awesome thing. And I want to go to touch a little bit in Hebrews. I can find it. Apologize for the dead air. No dead air, no dead air. I had it this morning. No, 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 no. Now I'm going to read a little bit about faith. I'm going to start at 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is God, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't please God with this flesh. The only reason why God the Father knows me is because by Jesus Christ's blood, by what he did, not by what Philip did. And we read, what we do, what shall we do to do the works of God? Believe on him who he has sent. Believe on him. And he's a, what does it say in 11:6? He is a rewarder of those who, what? Diligently seek him. We labor against unbelief because this dead man strapped to our back and is telling us otherwise. But God's bigger than that. He defeated that. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he's overcome death. And he's overcome this death, this cursed thing. And if we're in him, we have we are just walking in that victory. And it's not by what we do, folks. It's by what he did. And I don't care who you are. If he had grace for me and he lifted me up, he'll lift any one of you guys up too. Because he loves you. And he's good. And in him is no darkness at all. Let's take this message today. Let's apply it to our heart. And let's walk in that victory that he has set forth for us. Not using that sacrifice in vain. Because when we walk in unbelief, that's what we're doing. Lord's good. And he loves you. Paul.
You know, when Philip was talking about having been seized, having been taken out of the miry pit that he was in, and brought forth into a company of people that love him and really look after his good, it reminds me that he started rattling off things he had. You know, he had as a family, as a stepfather. You know what else he has in accepting the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his salvation? Just a touch here in Hebrews 4, I'll read 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, and let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was as in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And there's a double negative going there. So what that means is he is able. He has gone through all the stuff before you. He knows how you're feeling. He loves you. He has bestowed upon you his grace, his mercy, and his spirit to be partakers of his salvation. But there is something that we have to do. None of this stuff comes naturally. Right? No. We just wake up in the morning and, oh boy, praise God. You know, there's the nation of Israel in the desert when they provoked God and died. That's going on in here. It goes on every day. There's a natural provocation of the Lord in here, and we have to put it down. We have to wake up, and like David did, he commanded his soul. Right? And this is the day the Lord had made. That's David commanding his soul to rejoice in the day the Lord has made.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all who is with me, bless his holy name. Because it's not natural. It's not what we wake up into every day. But, the close of Romans 7 is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I don't want to go into Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who is the one who condemns? The enemy. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Destroy your faith, feed unbelief, and cause you to lose that battle right as you confront it the first thing you wake up in the morning. I was looking for it desperately, but I couldn't find it. And I'm going to keep going in Romans 8 to see if I find it in here. But, if you spend all your time seeking Him and His righteousness, and let all these things be added unto you, if you can command your soul to seek Him and His righteousness, you're just not going to have time to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because once you find out what's going on there, it becomes all-encompassing. It is a change of mind and heart, and it's putting off the desires of this carnal body and the carnal mind, and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When you're following the flesh, flesh is in front of you. You're following its leading. When you're following after Spirit, the Spirit's leading. It's in front of you. That the righteous law might be filled us who walk after the... 5. For they that are after the flesh, do mind if I already read that too. This is going to be one of those days. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is where the warfare is. And from the time you meet Jesus Christ, for the rest of your life, you're going to be at war, at enmity with this. And you have to make that choice to cast it off. Put it off. Set your affections on things that are above. Boy, I can keep quoting things from all over the Bible that are in agreement with that. It's so interwoven, it's part of our new existence in Him. But the strength to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Can't be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That ought to scare some people. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Jesus is righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you lived after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. As Paul says in 7, that which I would do, I do not. That which I do, I don't please in. This is torment. But this is where 95% of the battle is, maybe 100%. It all feeds back through this. Where is your heart? Is it yet corrupt and carnal? And it's why it's so important you command your soul to agree with this word, to agree with how good God is, to agree with how much He loves you, to agree with His desire to pull you out of the pool of liquid death that you live in. And you breathe and have judgment and torment to take you out of bondage to that and now give you a choice. You will set free. You can choose to put off all this stuff.
Amen.
You can command your soul.
Amen.
And that's life and peace and the glory of His word and His work. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear, bondage. That's what all this is. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This is our new adopted Father. He loves us just like His own. He gave us His Son while we were yet at our worst. He's given us full provision to not be having to wake up every day in bondage and stay there. Don't have to be there. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. This flesh is going to cry out and scream out, you're tormenting, you're... There's certainly suffering in the flesh when you choose to ignore it. You know, and in the garden, Jesus had to put off the natural inclination to say, Lord, if this cup may pass, but not my will, Thy will. And I can tell you that there's some certainty, with some certainty, what His will is for us. His will is for us to love one another, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to seek Him first in His kingdom and His righteousness. And let Him take care of all the other stuff. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in every way was tempted like us, yet without sin. That is our rock. There's nothing we are going through. There's nothing we've ever been through. There's nothing we will ever be through in this body that is unlike anything He went through. And because He could do it without sin, His righteousness can then cover ours completely. He set us free from the bondage to that liquid pool of muck that was sin and death. Enable us to partake and breathe and operate in the kingdom. To be able to command our souls. To bless the Lord and His goodness and the power of His love and the power of His resurrection, and to be partakers and joint heirs with Christ. There is no reason why we can't get down on our knees and just start groaning out to the Lord, Lord, I'm worthless. Lord, help me. And then you're free when He meets you. Free from the bondage of sin and death. To command your soul that this is, bless the Lord, He's so good. He loved us so completely. He covered us so fully. He's given us His word, His testimony. He's given us the covering of authorities over us that care for us. That love us enough to tell us stuff we are not going to think is terribly popular. Because it's just shows forth yet still the corruption that's in here. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. I absolutely put those two phrases in 11:6 of Hebrews backwards. But He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And that reward is life and peace with God the Father. You can walk in it in victory by your choice, by the act of your will, by the command of your mind, to command your soul, to bless Him for all He's provided and done for you. He's been good. That's it. I'm done.
I'd like to dedicate my life to the Lord.
Okay. Come on up here. We have Terry, Jeff's father here. And he wants to dedicate his life to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, say it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy.
Thank you for your grace and your mercy.
This has been bestowed on me, Lord.
It's been bestowed on me, Lord.
I receive it, Lord. And I ask that you come in my heart.
And I ask that you come in my heart.
And be my Lord.
And be my Lord.
And save you.
And save you. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord, we praise you and love you and honor you right now.
In Jesus' name, we praise and honor you right now.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Well, that was good and fun and interesting. Praise God.